Well, it is a crazy time in our world right now. Seems like every day there's another shooting, there's another tragedy, there's some terrible event or thing that has happened in our world. And here's, you know, what we all know, there's always trouble in this world. I mean, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he also said, be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. But it just seems like right now it's just at an extreme. And, you know, all the crazies are out in full force. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of people just making bad things worse. But people are upset. Some are mad and angry. Some are afraid. Some are freaking out. They're in a panic. Some are depressed. Sometimes the circumstances of life are just like a storm. It's beyond our control. We don't really know what all's going to happen. I want you to know that just because there's a storm on the outside doesn't mean that you have to have a storm on the inside. Amen. God wants us to be free from that. The scripture tells us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I want you to hear me. This sounds like some nice Christian rhetoric. Oh, that's a nice thought. You know, let's put that on a plaque and put it on the wall, and that's nice. No, this is a command from the Word of God. It's not a holy suggestion. This is how we're supposed to live. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think he says it twice. I think when I say he, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul to write it. I think he says it twice because he knew how difficult it would be for us to swallow that. Always? Always, all the time, like right now? What about when I'm bent out of shape, when I'm really upset? We're going to get to that. I know a whole lot about that, by the way. I'm 65. I've been upset and bent out of shape a whole lot. So I know. Okay, you'll see. What exactly is he talking about when he says rejoice? I want us to understand what the Greek word really means. It's a Greek word, I'll get it out in a second here, kahiro. And what it means is to be glad, to be cheerful, to be calmly happy. Now, it's important for us to understand this because sometimes when we think of rejoicing, we think of something way different than that. In fact, in the Old Testament, there are some Hebrew words that are translated as rejoice that have all kinds of real demonstrative actions. Like one of those words, one of the translations of it could be to spin around. You know, like you're so excited, you're just spinning around. Now, when the Bible tells us to rejoice always, it doesn't mean that. Because when you're driving down the freeway, that's a bad thing. To be spinning around, right? And neither does it mean that we're always so excited, we're just jumping up and down. There's a place for that in worship, in praise. There's a place for that, but that's not what it's talking about here. What it is talking about is that we have this gladness of heart, that we are calmly happy, that there is something that we always do, that we're always have this joy, this rejoicing, this cheerfulness in our heart. Now, some of you, you're thinking, well, I don't want to be like that because those people get on my nerves. I live with one of those people. She's always calmly happy, always cheerful, always glad. And yeah, every once in a while, it gets on my nerves. But 99% of the time, I love it. But here's the thing. Why does it get on my nerves, that 1%? because I'm grumpy. See, I need this message tonight. Some of you do too. Don't elbow your spouse. That ain't right. That ain't going to help either. The scripture tells us to be glad, to be calmly happy all the time, always. This Greek word, it's translated as rejoice here. It's also translated many times throughout the New Testament as glad or joyful. In fact, it's in the New Testament 74 times. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but that's a whole lot of times. In fact, there are a lot of things that us preachers talk about a whole lot that are just mentioned a few times. And this is in there 74 times. I would just want you to understand that this is a big part of the Christian life, that we're to be calmly happy. We're to be glad all the time. We're always cheerful. I'm not saying we don't get sad sometimes or fearful sometimes, but I'm saying that we got to deal with that because this is who we're supposed to be. Here's another example of where this same word was used. It's translated as glad. It's when Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. And in John 11, 14 and 15, Jesus says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's telling his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Sounds really strange, doesn't it? I mean, he's telling the disciples, my friend Lazarus, he's dead. And I'm glad. For your sake. But something's going on here, isn't it? He knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. But you know what? We just need to realize in whatever the situation, whatever our circumstance, that our God is the Almighty God. And we can trust him that however he works it out, it's going to be good. He's always in control. You know, the early church, they went through all kinds of persecution from the very beginning. A lot of believers, when they became Christians, they were put out of their homes by their family. Many of them lost their jobs because their fellow Jews didn't want them working for them anymore. And they went through so much persecution, and yet, here's what the scripture tells us. It's Acts 2, 46 and 47. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Being joyful is just a normal part of church. It's just a normal part of who we are as the body of Christ. And you know it's so attractive to the world? Y'all are too quiet. What happened to them? The Lord added to the church daily. Oh, also, they were praising God, having favor with all the people. Now, when it says all the people, some people get all weird with the scripture. You know, they say all means all. Listen, all doesn't mean that the religious leaders gave them favor. No, there were some people that hated on them. They were being persecuted by some people. But God gave them favor with the majority of the people in that culture. And the Lord was just adding to the church. And I just want you to understand, this is just a byproduct, all right? But when we have this kind of joy and gladness of heart, it's so attractive to people. People want what we have. You know what? Nobody really, well, I guess some people do. I don't know how this stuff works, but I can't imagine how it works for, who wants to be part of grumpy religion? Mad religion? Sad religion? No, glad religion. The real thing, that old time religion. Amen. That's what we need. And I just tell you, the time that we're living in, so many people are stressed out, discouraged, disillusioned, bent out of shape about all kinds of things. You know, thanks to the internet, we get to see every upsetting thing that happens in the world. so much trouble. And so much trouble it brings to our souls. Most of us could use a little more joy, right? We need to be more cheerful. We need to get to that place where we're just glad all the time, even through the rough places. And the Word of God tells us to rejoice always. Now, for most of us, you know, we'll have a problem with that when things are going good, when, you know, everything's falling into place, going our way. It's not hard to say, well, I'm glad. Yeah. But this is written for real people living real lives. And we've got to look at this and consider who the Holy Spirit used to write this. The Apostle Paul. This man who was consumed with his calling and fulfilling the purpose that God had given him. He lived to preach the gospel to the lost. He traveled from city to city, preaching the message of the gospel. Everywhere he went, he left behind a trail of converts. And over, he left churches, went into a town where there was no church. But by the time he left, there was a group of believers that had become a church. This was a mighty man of God. God was using him so mightily. And then, when he writes this letter, he has been put in prison. He can't go from town to town anymore. He's not a free man anymore. But he's still preaching the gospel to everybody that'll listen. And he's writing letters and he's encouraging people. This man was beaten and whipped, suffered all kinds of persecution, and he's the one that the Holy Spirit is using to write to those people and to us, rejoice in the Lord always. You see, real people with real problems going through difficult times, we can do this. We just got to learn how. And he tells us how to do it. I just want you to know, this is not some strange word that he just said, you know, wrote to the Philippians. He said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, always. How can we be glad, be cheerful always? I am not talking about fake smiles. And I'm not just talking about exuberant praise and worship, although there's a place for that. We ought to be excited about worshiping the God. I'm talking about being glad all the time. Verse 5. Here's the first key. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, gentleness doesn't really communicate the whole meaning of this Greek word here. I actually like the old King James version here. It says, let your moderation be known to all men. And the word moderation, I mean, we just don't use that word very much. And so, none of the newer translations translate it that way, but it really communicates the meaning well, because what it's talking about here is that we are the same all the time. We're not given to extremes. You're going to rejoice always. You're going to be glad, cheerful, calmly happy always. You can't be given to extremes. I want to tell you something. Emotion is a wonderful thing. It's one of the ways that we were created in the image of God. Did you know that he laughs and he cries, that he grieves, that he rejoices? I mean, the Lord experiences emotion. Jesus wept when he saw the mourners at Lazarus' tomb. He wept with them. But what crazy thing has happened in our world is that a lot of people live by their emotions. Their emotions control their life. I'll just give you one crazy example. You know, people say wedding vows, it's a commitment till death do us part. But what a lot of people in this world mean is, as long as I feel like I do today. And we all know how that lasts. But I'm just telling you, so many people in this world, they live by their emotions, and their emotions get the best of them. And what it's talking about in this verse is that we stay on an even keel. The keel is when the bottom of a boat, when it's even keel, it's kept straight up. It's not tilting and bending with the waves, but it's kept steady. And you see, that's what the Lord wants in our lives, that we're not tossed to and fro by our emotions and everything that's going on in the world, but in the midst of it all, we can stay steady. We have that moderation. And why do we have that? What did it say? Let your moderation be known to all men. Put the scripture up, please. What does it say? The Lord is at hand. The NIV says, the Lord is near. This is why. He's right here. He's right here in this room right now. He's right there in your car, in your home, in your workplace. He's right there. Right there. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of need. Where is he? Very present. Right here, right now. See, when we would get upset or be fearful or get all mad and bent out of shape, the Lord is right here, right now. Mighty God, the one who can do anything, the one who could speak to the wind and the waves and the storm stops. Tell you, it changes your attitude. If you just realize the Lord is at hand. He is right here with me. I have to tell on myself a little bit tonight. I told the Lord I would, so I am. Might help somebody else. Don't criticize me. I'm driving down the road. Somebody playing with their phone. Drifting over into my lane. I got to hit my brake, move over, shift over, you know. And Carmen's sitting there, and I'm like, "Did you see that idiot?" Let me tell you how this works. The Lord is at hand. I look over there, and I see Jesus sitting in the seat. I want to tell you, I'm not going to say to Jesus, "Did you see that idiot?" I'm going to say, "Lord, bless them, help them, keep them safe." It just changes your attitude when you realize that the Lord is with you all the time. You know, you're home and you're taking care of the kids and one of them drops a half a gallon of milk on the floor. It's going everywhere. And you're just thinking, the Lord is here. We got milk. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But it's not just because it makes you behave better. It just changes your outlook on life and on everything when you realize God is my very present help in the time of need. I should be upset right now, but I don't have to be because the Lord is at hand. He's right here with me. I can be cheerful in the midst of whatever's going on. I can be glad because the Lord is with me. He's near. So important. You got to remember this part. How can we be cheerful, glad all the time? The Lord is near. He's at hand. Whatever we face, he's at hand. In all of our ups and downs, we can stay at even keel because we know he's with us. You know, you talk about even keel of a boat. I had motion sickness a few times. Both times was when I was fishing. And the first time I went fishing with some friends, Howard and his son Tim, and they were fishing guides. So we did some pretty good fishing, but not like fishing guides usually do. They baited a catfish hole, and so we were catching catfish as fast as we could, and they make their own stink bait, and man, did it stink. And What got me was, you know, it's catching so many fish that you drop that line in, you pull, I mean, it didn't take 30 seconds and you're pulling it in, but it would take me a couple of minutes to get that fish off, and I'm bending over that stink bait, reaching down in that bucket with the boat going like this. And by the time I got that hook rebaited and got it back in the water, it got to me. And eventually I ended up over the side of the boat. And Tim, he says to his dad, he says, "Boy, Dad, your preacher's got a funny way of praying." But here's something I learned about motion sickness. By the way, see, we're not talking about motion sickness tonight. We're talking about emotion sickness. But here's what I learned about motion sickness. If you can keep your eyes on the horizon, you can keep from getting sick most of the time. As long as you can look out and see the horizon, because it doesn't move. It stays the same. And you see, when it comes to our emotions, if you could keep your eyes on the Lord, you're going to be all right. You just keep your focus on Him. You keep your attention, your attitude. You're thinking about God. You're not allowing these circumstances. You see, you get to thinking about all that's going on and this is upsetting. And man, you're just smelling that old catfish bait. And it's stinking it up. It's going to make you sick. All right. I know that's a little simplistic, but it's for somebody. I looked up Even Keel on the internet one time years ago, and it pulled up an organization called Even Keel. It's a bipolar disorder support association. People with bipolar disorder are given to extreme mood swings. Now, bipolar isn't extreme, but here's the thing. We all have to deal with this, and some struggle with it more than others, but we all have to deal with our emotions. I mean, and here's how this scripture really helps us. See, if we're glad, if we have this cheerfulness of heart, we learn to do this, you're not going to have bad mood. You're not going to be grumpy. You're not going to be mad at the world anymore. So what if we could really learn to do this? I believe the Apostle Paul was doing this when he wrote it. And if anybody had a cause to be mad or to have a pity party, it was him. And if he can do this, we can too. What's the first thing? You got to remember that the Lord is at hand. Life gets pretty stormy. You know, sometimes you'd be going along, everything seems all right, and all of a sudden, car trouble. Electric bill doubles. Child gets hurt. Lose your job. Boss is unfair. I mean, in just a moment, it can get crazy. Some of you probably remember this about 15 years ago now when on 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, my daughter's on her way to the church to lead worship, and she has a car wreck on I-35 and shut down the freeway for 45 minutes. She calls me at 8. I'm at the church, of course, and I jump in the car and run down there. And she didn't have any serious injuries. I took her to the emergency room myself, and she had a neck strain or something like that, but nothing serious. And she ended up coming to the church and leading worship for the second service. But I just will tell you that that's pretty traumatic for a dad when your kid is in a wreck like that. And, you know, all the lanes are shut down on the highway. And my goodness. You see, we all have those times like that. And God is still God. Amen. He is still in control. You know, as you read on in Psalm 46, that's one that some of you just need to mark that and read it later. Psalm 46, 1 and 2, he says, "God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of need. Therefore, we will not fear." And it goes on, though, and it says, "Though the mountains be cast into the sea." I mean, You see, whatever kind of upheaval, whatever's going on in this world, we don't have to be afraid. Our God is more than enough. Now, sometimes I think I do better with the big things than I do the little things sometimes. It's the little frustrations, the day-to-day things, you know. I mean, it can be, you know, the property taxes went up way too high and I got to go protest them. Or, you know, I'm trying to decide what I'm willing to share. But it's all kinds of things. You know, have you ever had a lost bank deposit? What? I thought that only happened on It's a Wonderful Life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, good grief. Except this time, well, I guess in that situation, it was the bank that lost it too. Anyway, but it all worked out, y'all. Don't freak out. That's what I did. But it all worked out. But here's all I want to say to you. You know, for a lot of us, it's the daily little things that just kind of eat away at our joy. But it doesn't have to. If we just realize, no, God's in control. You know what? I know the Lord is with me. He's right here with me. But we're going to get to the second key here. Remember, the Lord is at hand. He's right here. And He's God. He's bigger than whatever comes, whatever we face. And He's going to work it out. Romans 8:28, He works all things together for the good of those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. You see, we may not understand it, but I know this. A lot of the time, I get so upset about this, or I 6 months down the road, sometimes it's longer than that. Sometimes it's just a few hours. I look back, and I'm like, well, it just all worked out, didn't it? And sometimes we may not see how it worked out for our good until this life is over, but we can trust God. Amen. So, let's go on. Verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord's at hand. He's right here with us. Don't be anxious about anything. What gets you out of kilter? What gets you all upset, bent out of shape? What gets you fearful and afraid, upset? Be anxious about nothing. This is what the Bible tells us. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known unto God. You can't just not be anxious. You have to pray. That's how you turn it over to God. Yes, He's with us, but you see, when we feel fearful or anxious or upset or even angry, we need to go to God in prayer, and we need to turn that over to the Lord in everything by prayer and supplication. You see, whatever it is, everything, the big things, I do pretty good on those usually. But I got to work a lot more on the little things, because it says in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God. Now, He already knows about it, doesn't He? But we're supposed to take them to Him in prayer. And this is the end result. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I know I always have to address this because I'm one of you. You get down on your knees and you pray and you talk to God for 3 whole minutes. And then you get up and you say, well, I don't feel any better. I'm just still just as upset as I was. I know what the answer is. You go back and you pray some more. And you pray some more. And you pray some more until the peace comes. He says the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So yes, sometimes just a little dab of prayer won't do you. Sometimes you need to stay in prayer until you get a release, until you get a freedom, until you get a peace. It's not that it takes God a long time to hear you. Jesus said we won't be heard by our many words. But sometimes it takes us a while to get to the place where we truly let go of it and turn it over to Him. You notice He said, with thanksgiving. You see, when we truly turn it over to Him, we can give Him thanks from the heart and say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to work this out. Thank you, Lord, that you're in control. And you release it to Him. Now, you can't say, Lord, here's my problem, and then you just take it back. You got to turn it over to the Lord and receive that peace and allow it to guard your heart and your mind. I tell you, I know sometimes when things happen, we just feel like we're supposed to be upset. We're supposed to worry. In fact, I know I get on some people's nerves sometimes because I'm not upset enough for them. One guy, he decided he would hire himself a professional worrier because he had such a struggle with worry. And so his friend asked him, he says, well, what does something like that cost? He says, $50,000. He said, how are you going to pay for that? I don't know. That's his job to worry about. But here's what I do know. Being upset doesn't accomplish anything except make you old. Worrying about stuff doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, it does you a whole lot of harm. It can make you sick, make you miserable, make you a terrible witness. I'm just telling you, it doesn't accomplish anything. So don't let the devil or anybody else put that on you that you need to be upset and worried. No, you need to pray until you can turn it over to God and you can have the peace of God and you can stay glad because you're serving the Lord, a mighty God. See, this is real. Our God is real. We don't have to be afraid and upset and bent out of shape all the time. Peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. See, now some people, they say, what in the world? This is one sentence. What does being humble have to do with casting your cares upon Him? Everything. Because when we humble ourselves, we are admitting to God that there are things beyond our control. We are admitting to God that we need His help. So much of the time, the pride of man, and I struggle with this attitude of wanting to take the bull by the horns. When there's a problem, I just want to fix it. I'm a fix-it guy. But you know, there's a whole lot of things in this world. We just need to humble ourselves before God and turn it over to Him. And even if there are things that we're supposed to do, we want to do it with God's help and with the right heart, the right attitude. But we pray about everything. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he's talking about asking for wisdom, but it's just an example. It could be something else. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. He that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. I just want you to see that when we pray, it's not a religious exercise that we're going through. We're praying and believing that God will answer our prayer. And so when we cast our cares over on the Lord, we got to pray and believe and not allow ourselves to go back and forth wavering and doubting. And what I'm talking about here again is allowing our emotions to get the best of us. Understand what I'm saying. Just because you had a negative thought come into your mind doesn't mean that you doubt. And just because you started to feel some fear or some anxiety doesn't mean that you have doubted. I'm telling you, don't allow it to toss you back and forth like the waves of the sea. You don't allow it to get you out of kilter. You keep your eyes on the Lord and you trust Him. You choose to believe and to trust Him no matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like. Verse 7 said, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, this just reminds me of Jesus asleep in the boat with the disciples when a great storm comes up and the waves are actually coming into the boat. And sometimes in our lives, it kind of seems like the waves are coming into the boat and the disciples are all upset and they say, "Lord," they wake Him up. They say, "Lord, don't you care that we're about to die?" He said, "Why are you so fearful?" See, their emotions got the best of them. But Jesus just got up and calmed the wind and the waves. And I'm just telling you, we don't have to be afraid. We can trust Him. Even when we get bad reports. But here's the thing. You see, you get your mind on God. And you say, "The Lord is with me. He's right here with me. He's mighty God." And you pray about it and you keep praying and you get that. You thank Him for the answer that He's going to take care of it. And you get the peace of God. It's guarding your heart and your mind. But hear this now. You can't allow your mind to be set on negative things. If you go back to thinking that same old way, you're going to open the door for all that worry, fear, anxiety, anger, whatever else back into your life. Now, I said earlier, you can't help what pops in your mind, but you don't have to let it stay there. You choose, you decide. Now, I said you can't help it, but you can help a whole lot of what pops in your mind, especially in the day and the time that we live in. Because most of us, we feed our minds all kinds of negative stuff all day long. We're reading and seeing all the junk that people post, reading the news or watching the news and listening to this and that and junk on YouTube. And oh my goodness, no wonder we're stressed out and anxious and upset. Here's the next verse. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." The New King James uses the word meditate instead of think, but to meditate just means to go over it and over it in your mind. And here's what he's talking about. We keep our mind on the good things, on the Word of God and the blessings of God and all of the things, not the immoral, ungodly things of this world, but we keep our mind on the things that are pure and lovely and praiseworthy, not the gossip and all of the backbiting and fighting going on in the world. No, we think about the blessings of God. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, you meditate on these things. So you got to choose to meditate on the good things, on the things of God. These verses, you know, they don't really tell us what all not to think about, but I'm just telling you, you can't think negative things all the time and stay at even keel and be glad of heart all the time. You just can't. You got to stop thinking that way, or it'll always take you back to that old way. So I'm going to say it one more time. You can't keep your mind on good things if you're watching, listening, or reading about all of the bad things. You need to be wise about your intake of yuck. Honestly, I'm 65 years old. I've been a Christian, sold out to Jesus for 47 years. And almost all of that in full-time ministry. But I can only handle so much Facebook. Honestly. I ain't sitting on Facebook for 45 minutes. I can't take it. Here's how much yuck you can handle. However much you can process in prayer and getting free from it so that you've got peace before your Father and you're glad and cheerful. If you can't get there, you're getting too much yuck. And I'll tell you, most of us, we're getting way too much yuck. Not just from Facebook, from media of all kinds and news of all kinds. I'm not against the news or media. I'm just telling you that if we're going to live this, you can't have your mind filled with that stuff all the time. You got to get free from that. And I think after you get a little dose of that, you better spend some time in prayer. Because there's going to be some things that are going to make you anxious, and you're going to have to go take it to God and say, Lord, you see what's going on, and I need to turn this back over to you, Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Is that just Christian rhetoric? Is something we put on a t-shirt, something we pretend, wear a fake smile? Or is it something that we can actually reach for and learn and grow in? And yeah, it's not easy. It's not some thing that you're going to accomplish today in one hour that you're going to, the rest of your life, be glad and cheerful. But it's something that we can learn and grow in. And I tell you, I am determined that I'm going to learn to do this better and not allow stuff to get the best of me. Probably don't do it enough, but I'm tired of having to apologize to people for not saying something the right way or for being too grumpy when I should be cheerful all the time. Got so much to be cheerful about. So I just encourage you tonight, take this passage, Philippians 4:4-8, and go over it again and meditate on it and keep this message alive in your heart till you get it deep down inside and you start living it out. I'm cheerful all the time. I'm just glad all the time. No matter what comes, I've learned how to be glad. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Stand with me. We're going to dismiss and pray.